Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 30th of August, Anno Domini 2014, and you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. This is a very special edition of Soundbites because it's Linda from Greece's birthday. And there was something else,
Some other celebration,
I can't remember. Oh, yeah, it's our 25th anniversary.
Well, that works.
All right.
That's right. We've been on the air for 25 years. Yeah. Golly, I'm old.
I was young when we started.
You were. You're not anymore, and I'm delighted.
Rob wasn't even born, was he?
pretty close. And we are actually broadcasting live from the Lovin' Cup, which is a great place, and we want to thank them for generously throwing their doors open to us. Well, I say generously throwing their doors. We had to break in earlier, but so far they haven't actually called
Who's
the police.
Who's replacing that glass?
So, that's on you. That's entirely on you.
You're at a home improvement store or
something. We don't sell glass, though.
That's all on you. Might as well start.
Yeah, really.
We were delighted to have the Second Life contingent here, and we're delighted to see many of our friends.
We understand why they're in Second Life.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know that
First Life isn't working.
I don't know that I'd want to see this group in real life every week. But we do. We do Second Life every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Linden time, 9 o'clock Eastern time, and we're all here live today. Now, sadly, we will not be able to take calls over the air this week. Although Mike is manning the booth back in the studio, we are unable to take your calls. But we can certainly talk to people live here. So if you have a question, there's really only one way you're going to get it answered this week. So that's how that's going to work. But I think I will start with the news.
And the first piece of paper here. So that the opening that Nick does, he just reads off the top of his head, no paper, no computer screen, and it's exactly the same word for word every week. A lot of people say and wonder, you know, does he read that every week? Nope.
Nope. I remember it every week. You know, I'm an actor. Yeah. Once it starts coming out of my mouth, it's actually you need a brickbat to stop me.
But you know, this feels odd.
Why? Because you're on this side for
yeah,
for
this
once.
Is the first time in what, about, when did we start, Rob? 5 years ago? 5 years ago, June, that we, matter of fact, it was June 5th, 5 years ago. Before that, we had met with Rob for lunch and said, so how soon can you start Soundbites on Jazz 90.1? We said, oh, how about June 5th? So since June 5th, I've been on the other side, not being able to sit with you guys, just sitting and relaxing. This seems odd.
And I do want to apologize to all the folks who are here because about half the fun of Soundbites is watching the panic on his face every week as he still doesn't have any idea what he's doing with that board.
I should have left a camera in the studio on Mike.
We have a nickname for Dave. We call him Eenie Meenie. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because all he does is just poke around at the buttons on the board.
Wait a minute. You've got three screens.
That's right.
No, four. And then this guy here forgets to tell me after 1 week of training that, he can log in and take over. So I'm seeing the screens there. Okay, everything's good. Then all of a sudden I see the mouse moving around and screens changing. It's like, I didn't touch anything. I didn't break it. Nope. It's him logging in to take over.
And there's a good 50 rows of buttons and sliders and knobs and dials and lights. And
scary thing is I know what they do now.
Yeah, now you do. back in the day, it was like,
So you guys, I was thinking about this. How much has changed in 25 years, computer-wise, since you've been on the air?
Everything. Back in the day. Well, let me tell you a little bit of the history, a little bit of the history of the show. Yep. 25 years ago, well, 26 years ago now.
Yep.
Simon Ponton, who used to be the morning guy on WXXT, sure you know who he is, was a friend of mine.
He
still is. But he came over to my house one day. We sat on the porch and drank beer. And there was something on his mind, and he wouldn't get to it. And finally I said, Simon, just talk to me. And he said, well, I want to know why you don't do a call-in show for computers on our station. And I said, nobody ever asked me to do this. He said, well, I'm asking. I said, okay, let's do that. He said, I'll set it up. And he did. He went back to the management there, and he said, "This is what we want to do." And of course, they brought in the great, the magnificent Bob Smith, mm-hmm. Who was the host for many years. And I remember that first day. I walked in the studio, introduced myself to Bob. We kind of hit it off right away. Great guy, and we sat down, and Bob had. Put together, he started the show with 5 minutes of news, because it's public radio, you have to do 5 minutes of news at the top of the show. It's a law, apparently. And he had put together 5 minutes of news, and then he had about 8 stacks of paper, just paper after paper after paper. Now, you have to understand, Bob may be the smartest human being I have ever met, ever, and he knew... research. He could do research. So he had done massive amounts of research on computers, on bugs and on types and on people and on places. And I said, Bob, what is all this? He said, well, we haven't done any advertising. We haven't done any promotion. So nobody knows we're doing this. So nobody's going to call in. I said, I don't think that's going to work that way. And and he introduced the show and he did his little 5 minutes of news. And then the next thing I knew, the phones were ringing. And they really kind of haven't stopped.
No.
Except today, of course, when we can't do the phones. So if you want your question answered, there's only one way, and that's live. Bob and I did it for a while alone, just the two of us. And at the beginning, he knew nothing about computers, but he very, very quickly became quite knowledgeable about them.
His IBM laptop.
Yeah. Yes, he had that IBM laptop. And back then, it was Windows 95.
Yep.
And...
No. Windows 3.1.
Windows 3.1. Yep. You're right. It was Windows 3.1.
Yeah,
and it was. It was Windows... Holy moly world.
On the front page of the website, when we had, you know, sort of describing what the show was about, it's, what's that big red switch on the side for?
Yeah.
Right.
And if you remember, the very first IBM PCs literally had a giant red switch on the side as
big
the power switch.
Right.
It was like one of those circuit breaker things you'd find where you take two hands to push it.
Bob and I did it for a while, and I kept saying, you know, I'm ridiculously brilliant, but I need some help. So I don't know a whole lot about hardware. I don't know a whole lot about the Mac. So we should be getting some people in. And we did that. And then we got folks like Jerry, and we got guys like Chris, and we got people like Paul Casarino and other folks to come in and do segments over the years. And originally, Dave was what, every other week?
No.
That was me.
That was him every
half hour every other week.
Half hour every other week.
Was the Mac... Mac time.
And half the time he didn't have anything to say because Macs just ran and people just used them.
Mm-hmm. We used to joke about...
That's not true anymore because now they're Intel-based, lots of other stuff going on, and they have the same problems Windows machines do.
Right. Yep. In the service industry, you can make a lot of money being a Windows repair technician.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I have often said, God bless Bill Gates, because without him, I'd be an out-of-work actor.
You and me both. Unemployed for a while.
Exactly. So he came in once in a while. He came in once in a while. And then they just didn't go away. I mean, I don't really remember inviting them to stay, to be absolutely honest. But I love that shirt. But somehow they just stuck around, and I just didn't have the guts to say, get out.
Somebody had to keep you in line.
Well, nobody. That hasn't happened yet. I don't know what your issue is with that. And so we did that for years, and we had great guests. We had great questions, and things evolved, you know, as time went on. I mean, obviously back in the day, there were no tablets, there were no phones, there was nothing but that. There were hardly any laptops. I mean, there were Compaq made one.
Let's go back even further. There was no mice, and there were no CD-ROM drives.
Right, right.
There was 2 5-1/4-inch floppies.
Had to memorize commands and type things at a prompt.
Edlin.
Yep. And do everything in BASIC.
Pip.
Edlin. And that's the thing that really makes me angry, is the fact that computers don't come with a language anymore.
No.
Linux machines do. You have Perl, you have Python. If you download them, or just, you know, apt-get install, right? But they used to come, every computer came with BASIC, which meant that people were at least a little bit able to do some programming. And that enticed people into doing more programming, into becoming programmers. And now, none of that is there. When you get a tablet, all you can do is use it, not program or create on it. A phone is the same way. Nobody really programs their phone. Oh, we programmed the ringtone. Sorry, I forgot. And the same with computers. You get something like a Chromebook, you have to work to get it to do stuff. The same with laptops. There's no difference between them anymore. You either are a consumer, in which case you don't even think about languages, or you are a creator, and you've spent a lot of time crafting your machine so that you can do creation. But back in the day, everybody was using BASIC for everything. People were, a lot of our early questions were BASIC questions, commands on BASIC.
Anyone remember what BASIC stands for?
Everybody's going, no, that was before the 60s, so I really.
Beginner's all purpose symbolic instructional code.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very good. Over the years, we had guests who were programmers. We had guests who were just people who played around with stuff. Paul Casarino did a weekly thing called Shareware Gems.
Yeah, which we had a library.
I just got a kick out of Paul. He would come on every week and talk about these great little shareware programs that he found. And he wasn't a computer guy. The rest of us were all computer guys. He's a jeweler by trade. In fact, his shop is just down the street here. Yeah. And so no one ever got the pun that he was talking about shareware gems because he's a jeweler.
Yeah, right. But that was back in the day when to get that stuff, you had to go to a computer club because there was no internet back in those days. We actually, and I know this horrifies you, we had to meet face-to-face. We had to look people in the eye to talk to them about computers. It was a very frightening time. And you'd go to a club, and those clubs would have discs that they'd gotten every month in the mail from various shareware places. Right. Al remembers vividly and hates every minute of it. He doesn't even want to be remembered right now remembering this stuff.
I still have them in my closet.
Yeah, I bet
I won't
you
throw anything away.
I know you. That's why you keep moving to bigger and bigger houses.
Yeah.
We laugh because it's true. But in those days, that's how you had to do it. And the only way you learned about what the new programs were, what cool new stuff was available, was through a computer group newsletter or our show or something like that. There was no internet where you could just magically download stuff.
Well, there was, but that's a whole nother story, too. When you first introduced me.
Genie and CompuServe, command lines. A lot of the big companies, Genie was the General Electric Network for Information Exchange, I think.
Right.
And at night, when they weren't running their computers, they basically opened it up to the public to share information with. And it was cheaper than CompuServe, so that's the one I joined.
Right.
But back in the day, though, that's when, talking about going to the internet, our time with FidoNet. And that stuff, the L will remember, and that was
Jerry, one of the
on a monochrome screen.
Movers and shakers.
Movers and shakers, yeah.
Yep. It was on a monochrome screen.
Yep.
Either green lettering or the white lettering.
Or the yellow. You had amber monitors too.
And you just sat there and like CompuServe, it was just all menu driven. None of these great pictures of the GUI interface just didn't exist.
Yep.
And you got me hooked on it.
Oh, excuse me. No. I remember you coming to me and saying, I'm in trouble. My wife is angry with me because my phone bill last month was...
more than my mortgage.
Yeah. So that's when I said, you know, you could get an internet connection now and do all this stuff for one low monthly fee. And I wasn't even selling them.
Well, before that, your wife gave you the permission to buy the 9600 baud modem for a grand.
Yeah, no. Let me go up to the 1400.
1400.
Yeah,
wow.
I went up to the 1400.
14.4.
Because I had a 300 baud, and I said, you know, I can cut this down. And she goes, how? Besides not getting that, I says, well, I can go up to a 1400 baud modem. It'll be faster. But it still didn't excuse when I sit there. He got me hooked on being up all night.
No. We'll talk about that when we come back, but it's not anything to do with you. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, with Rob Linton, and all the folks here at Love & Cup, and we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. We were talking about...
the internet connection.
The internet connection. Here's what actually happened. I don't want to...
You tell your version, and then I'll tell what really happened.
This is the version. So we're talking about this
multi-$1,000
bill. And I said, let's get you actually on the internet. So I came down to your shop, and we hooked him up. And it's like I had disappeared. He was like this over the computer, hunched over it. Staring at the screen, I'm going, Dave?
All right, go ahead.
Dave? Dave? I said, do you want me to call you later? No, I'll be fine. You sure you don't want me to call you later? No, I'm good. Really, I can give you a call later and just remind you to, like, go home and get off the computer. No, I'll be good. Okay. So the next morning, what was it, about 6 a.m., I get a call from him. Mm-hmm. You son of a... I said, you're still at the computer, aren't you? He said, yes, I am.
But, no, here's the one difference. So, once you left, I admit, I stayed there another, probably an hour. I copied all the stuff that we had done onto a floppy. Took it on home, loaded it there. That was my downfall.
Yeah.
Because I used to have back then a wake-up service. My late wife used to sleep through alarms and everything else, so we had a wake-up service that would call us twice. I answered both of those calls. Yeah, no problem. Because I had been up all night. And then I call him.
How many people have forgotten to go to bed while they're looking at the internet?
Well, when you first... Yeah, I mean, hello. This was so much information out there. And as Al can attest and the rest of you guys, back in the day... If we wanted to get something new, we had to, like you said, go to the computer club, hand in a disc, wait till the following month to get that disc back.
Right.
Because Paul would sit there and copy it onto your floppies. Then you take it home, and then, boom, you're up for another few days trying out this new program.
I remember one time going to Paul Casarino's house, and he went down the basement to show me the setup for the PC Cubed thing. And there was a tower computer sitting on a table. And next to it was a much, much taller stack of CD drives. Yep. I said, the hell is this? He said, well, he had like A to Z, and then he was angry because he couldn't get farther. You only had 26 letters for a drive letter. And he'd gotten to Z, and all of them were taken up with monthly CDs from various places that put together shareware discs to send out, and I looked at it, and I thought, really, we're sick, sick people. And I was right, wasn't I? Paul and I believe, had the two most, the two busiest nodes on FidoNet. His was mostly people downloading programs. Mine was mostly people talking. And we had two FidoNet nodes, which was a... back before the internet, we had something called phone lines, and people would call up the various
several phone lines in the house.
Several. I had two. You had four.
And you used to have to have the
well, because it was Phil and Jerry every month would post the link, mm-hmm. who had the best in-city service,
oh, yeah.
out of the city but in the state, out of the state but in the country, and out of the, and then out of the country. Yes. So they had four phone lines depending on who you wanted to call, and you could switch your phone lines for whatever phone service was the cheapest that month.
Yep.
And one month, I think it was Phil, one of the companies was offering a free modem if you switched phone lines. And so he switched four of his lines. He had plenty of them. Yeah. But they ran out of modems and had to give him cash. And we were so mad at him.
Yeah. Speaking of modems, yeah, that's one gentleman I did get to meet. We used to also go to Comdex.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Comdex was down in Georgia.
Yeah.
Atlanta,
why don't we go on to Comdex, Rob? Well, not that there is a Comdex anymore, but
yeah,
we
really.
Could go to the show in Vegas. Rob?
NAB.
He's going to send us to the show in Vegas next year, NAB? Yeah, sure you are.
Uh-huh. But I remember
he lies with a complete
only if I can go too.
Well, of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, book it.
The NAB, the National yeah. Association of Broadcasters in Vegas. That's
we
a party.
Be there.
Yeah.
There's nothing like having thousands of broadcast engineers in a casino in Vegas. Like these guys know how to party. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And your problem with that is?
There's no problem.
All right. Well, then
yeah, there's no
there.
Problem.
You heard him, folks.
Here's the thing.
He's sending us to Vegas.
Here's the thing with NAB,
though.
You
got a whole audience.
NAB is like you guys getting your hands on the latest, greatest computer for radio people. Like we go and see all this stuff. Mm-hmm. That's yeah. brand new on the scene, and it's just like,
oh, yeah.
it's crazy.
And you can't afford half of
can't
it.
Can't afford three quarters of it. Are you kidding?
But it's just a chance to drool.
Yeah, it's like when you were a kid looking through the toy catalog. You know,
and
that
then
kind
going
of thing,
down so. There and getting some great tchotchkes.
Yeah, it's the yeah. tchotchkes.
Now,
the
I can remember when we used to go to Comdex, and we Paul and Al can both remember this too, because I was president of PC Cube for 7 years. Al, you were part of it, weren't you? But they used to send us software to test out.
Right.
Back in the day, they wanted your product to get out, so they'd constantly send me, by going to Comdex, send me product that I could give people away, and I was giving away, you know, Photoshop and Adobe and WordPerfect. Another one was Corel. I mean, I'd get all these software packages, and all the folks had to do, it was a full-blown software package, all you had to do was write a review for the newsletter. And this is talking, you know, hundreds of dollars of software. And nowadays, that's
the WordPerfect guys came here a dozen times.
Oh, yeah. Remember the M&M bags?
They'd throw M&M bags out at the crowd.
Yeah.
I was selling them at the time. Not the M&M bags, the computers. I've gone straight since then. But I was selling back in those days. And
What's the difference between a used car salesman and a used computer salesman?
A used car salesman knows when he's lying to you. Exactly. Exactly. the guys... The guy used to come in and he'd say, now you can't answer any questions at the club tonight. Because I knew all the answers. Because I was selling this stuff. I had to know all the answers. But we had a great time. We had a great time at XXI. Then we moved to Wham.
Yep.
But at XXI, before I forget, we had Esther Vale.
Oh,
was our
God
original
love
board
her
op back in the day when they called them board ops.
I never liked that term.
I know nobody likes the term, but that's what they call it. It was 1970. We were unenlightened.
It was the board operator.
Yes.
That was
so they were the board op. And and Esther Vale was our board op. She was only magnificent. John Andrus came in. He was equally as good. He was quite terrific. And
just to go back 1 minute, because she was such a lovely lady.
She was
Esther,
a sweetheart.
That woman learned so much stuff. She became dangerous with the computer.
It's true.
She had her keyboard set up with more shortcuts. And each week she'd come in and show us, hey, guys, I learned how to do this shortcut, and it opens up this program for me. And she could, before multitasking became really popular, Esther had already created it.
Yep.
With her macros.
She was doing great
shortcuts.
Stuff. Then we moved over to Wham, and we had this board op who was like an 8-year-old kid, I'm pretty sure.
We just saw the top of his head because he had to get a step stool.
Well, it was funny because our GM at the time, Jeff Howlett, who's no longer with Wham, he came in and said,
too.
He said, Rob, you guys are going to be doing a computer show. I said, what?
Yeah.
No, we want more Dr. Laura, darn it. We don't want a computer show, you know. And so we tried out this computer show. You guys came walking in, and we just had a blast every week. Now, how long were we at Wham?
7 years.
Seven years at Wham? Mm-hmm. Okay, just and all kind of blended together after some a while. People, you know?
Yeah, sure did, didn't it?
Some people hated it because there was a controversial DJ on that station.
There were more than one controversial
DJ. I was going to say, there's at least a couple,
But no, it was the Doc and Katie station. We love Doc and Katie.
I actually had a conversation with a guy once. He said, I can't believe you're on that station with those people.
Yeah.
And I said, you got a problem with Doc and Katie? You got a problem with me. And he went, no, not Doc and Katie. No, it's not what I mean. Well, that's who we're on with.
Yeah. Right. And when we were at XXI, we followed the Tappet Brothers.
Yeah, we did.
Well, the issue at WHAM was that we were always preempted for sporting events.
Yeah. Once they get the Buffalo Bills.
Right. If there was a Bills game, if there was a – you know, it's like it is what it is. It's a sports station. But that was always the frustrating part. But, you know, kudos to Jeff Howlett for bringing, you know, the show aboard there.
Yeah.
Because you guys, you know, were able to get in front of folks that had never – you know, had a computer show before, and it was incredible. It really was.
It was a lot of fun, and we had this 8-year-old kid running the board for us for a while, and then that was Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you remember the guy that did all the movie posters?
Yeah, there were several of them. Some of them are here.
Some are here. Do you remember the movie poster? You guys ever see the movie posters that were done with all of our faces on it?
I still have them all. I have to put them back up.
They put me on the face of a Teletubby. Do you remember that? Do you remember when we were Teletubbies?
Remember Lolly? Yes.
Some of them are there.
God love her soul. Lolly was one of the folks. We never got to meet her. We did talk to her one time live. And she was one of the folks that was killed. She was with the... federal government, and she was killed with one of the terrorist bombings.
Yeah.
When she was overseas, and she was due to come home. She stayed so she could get home for Christmas. She wanted to be home for Christmas, but unfortunately, she was there. But she did a lot of them. She put herself in a lot of them.
I still live in the shadow of the Teletubby thing because I was student teaching at the time, and my students thought it would be really hilarious to go out and buy a big stuffed Teletubby and present it to me as a gift.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Nice. Those pictures are still up, by the way.
Yes.
If you go to the Soundbites website at soundbites.org.
I was so hoping you took
Bites
them down.
That's Bites with a Y.
Oh, heck no.
Francis would like us to remind you. We've never met Francis. Francis wouldn't be here by any chance, would she?
No,
we never
not.
Met her. But she wrote us an angry letter because she couldn't find Soundbites and then said, you should tell people it's with a Y. It took me an hour to find you people. On our picture galleries, both the ovals and the movie posters are there. The ovals was our original logo and had our three faces. And you very creative people took those pictures and did just the strangest and oddest things to them.
Unique.
Unique. One might say unique.
Oh, there it is.
Well, no, I found the ballerinas.
Yeah, the ballerinas.
No, go back.
Yep, the ballerinas.
Can you take those down, please?
There's the Teletubbies.
There's the Teletubbies.
No, please, take them down.
That's never going to happen.
Image 257 of 273.
Why'd they make me the green one? What's the green one's name? Do you remember?
Because that's the angle your face
was. Oh, what do you mean by remember? Did we ever watch this show?
I don't want to know. You used to work.
If I said Poe, would you say that's wrong?
Some of us had children and were forced to watch it.
And then just over the years we then moved here to Jazz 90.1, and it's a wonderful. Wonderful place to be.
Back on member-supported public radio.
Yeah. That's right. Truly, truly member-supported.
And one thing we want to talk about as well, you know, when we sat down for lunch that day, I remember that very well, I said, you know, you guys are going back into public.
We didn't even order, though.
We didn't even order, and it was already decided. And I want to thank everybody listening, obviously here and also on the radio, too, that have stood behind that show financially. And that have supported not only public radio, but also your show in particular on public radio, because that shows that, you know, there's still a want for the help. There's still a need for it. And we appreciate everybody's support for helping keep the show on Jazz 90.1. So thank you very much to you guys for your support over the years.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
We
didn't even get our
drinks.
It
means a lot to us.
When we made the decision, we hadn't even gotten our drinks yet.
You first sat down and said, all right. Would you guys like to come and join
No, no, What he actually said, and this is the direct quote, so when can you guys start?
That's right. You're right. We had to think about it.
We didn't even say what we were going to start, but we all knew.
Didn't he first say, when do you want to start? I have a time slot on Saturdays. Give us the time frame.
See, I always get a kick. Yeah. Saturday's the eclectic day. There's Latin in the morning, and then polka, and then German.
Yep.
And so we squeezed right in there between the polka and the German.
Yeah.
And you know how to roll out the barrel. You know what I mean? You guys really, you know.
I am the barrel.
Yeah.
And so now we're here, and we're just continuing to have the best time. I'll be honest with you. I love doing this show, and it's you people who make it that way. Yeah. It's the people who call in, the people who come and visit us live when we do an event like this. We are very grateful for your support and for your friendship. The reason that I love this show is because when people come up and say, hey, I'm Linda from Greece, or I'm Dave from Syracuse, or I'm so-and-so, I smile because I like you people. And it always pleases me to actually see the people we only ever hear on the air, or the people we never hear from on the air, the people who are just listening. And I love that. So thanks to each and every one of you every single time for that. It's great stuff.
Well, that's why we keep saying, though, we have faces for radio.
We do have faces for radio. There is that.
Keep it there.
And a lot of those movie posters prove that.
Yes, they do.
How many times have you come up to, you know, I've had it happen to me, and folks have come up and say, gee, you're not what I thought you, I envisioned you.
Yeah.
You don't look like what I thought you would look like.
It's
gee, my mother thought I did.
Yeah. But people know us everywhere we go, everywhere we go. My poor daughter, when we were kids, when she was a kid, she would say, you know, we would go places and people would come up and say, oh, you're the computer guy in that computer show. Nice to meet you. Let me ask you a question. Although usually it was, oh, you're that computer guy. Let me ask you a question. Nice to meet you, or my name is, never really entered into it. And she used to get really angry because when you're 6 or 8 years old, it's about you. It's not about the dad. It's about you. We were at the zoo one day, and I was sitting there with Amelia, my daughter, and my wife had gone off to do something or other, and we were just sitting there under one of those umbrella things, and this guy comes up. And it was her day. I mean, we had said, it's going to be your day. It's all about you today. And this guy comes up and says, can I ask you a computer question? My daughter went, no! No! This is my day with my dad, and you can't be... So I'm sure he thought I'm like a deadbeat dad. I see my daughter once every 3 years. And he goes, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so horribly sorry. He backs over a garbage can, falls down, crawls away. There's him again. And she goes, I'm sorry, Daddy. And I said, no, honey, let's get ice cream. That was good. But, but people find us everywhere.
You know, we'll hit that when we come back.
We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, all you folks here, me, Nick Francesco. It's 40 minutes after the hour at Soundbites. I'm member supported. Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And as Mike said, we are live at the Lovin' Cup for our 25th anniversary. And although we cannot take questions over the air, we can take questions live. And Rob Linton has the mic.
We do. And what's your name, sir?
Name is Steve.
Okay, what's your question?
I just went for a large screen TV, and I'm getting Chromecast, and I want a tablet. So what kind of places that are on the internet that have free or cost broadcasts of TV, old shows, and things like that?
But let me just tell you that I have a Chromecast. I'm addicted. I use it every day. There's lots and lots of places.
Yeah.
Netflix. Here's the thing about Chromecast. Let me back up a step. The basic thing behind Chromecast is that from any Chrome browser or from a Chromebook or from any Android device, tablet or phone, anything you can show on the screen or any streaming media video, streaming video that you can do. You can essentially cast it, throw it to the Chromecast device, which plugs into the HDMI port of a TV, and then it shows up on the TV. So
No wires.
Right. And so, for example, last night I watched a Netflix movie. I started the movie. I hit the button, the little icon for Chromecast, and then I essentially lowered my laptop screen and just watched it on television. It was great because I have a bigger TV than I have. I wouldn't carry around a laptop right. that size. And it's pretty much, like I said, anything. Pandora, if you want to do audio, any of those audio things, any of the video things like Hulu or Netflix,
what about your regular TV stations like TNT that offer that, folk broadcast?
And that becomes some of the issue. And what we're seeing is a new class of people we're calling cord cutters. Right. Who are cutting their cable TV bill and watching everything on the internet. Many networks have their own website, yeah. ABC, you know, NBC,
TNT, CM, you know, all
and
of them.
On the network website, they will have episodes of their own shows. One of the problems is not all the shows are available for streaming because of licensing deals they have with cable companies. So you usually can't watch last night's episode of whatever.
But it's usually only a few days.
Right, sometimes a few days, sometimes a few weeks.
No biggie.
And it used to be a few months before it made it to Netflix or Hulu, which are sort of aggregators of content, which is what we wanted, is that's what we're used to on the television. We have 1,000 channels on one box. When you go to internet video streaming, you have to go to 1,000 channels separately to get the content you're looking for based on the show you want or the network it's on. So it gets a little trickier to watch things recently aired. But with Netflix and Hulu, we've got a new thing we're calling binging now, especially the first-run shows that both Netflix and Hulu offer. Was it Kevin Spacey had a
House of Cards?
House of Cards. Instead of releasing one episode a week and making you wait 3 weeks and then 6 weeks of repeats, they play put up the whole series in one shot. You can watch it all in one night when you get hooked and you just keep watching over and over again.
Same with Orange is the New Black and a couple of others. They're doing a whole series of Marvel superheroes.
Yep. We had a news story a couple weeks ago that Netflix now has more subscribers than HBO.
Yep.
And that's becoming the new norm now. As you're watching shows on the internet, those shows are now getting nominated for TV Emmy Awards and other things like that. And so they are now being seen by the industry as a legitimate place to put shows. So it used to be if you had a TV show you wanted to get on the air, you had to go to the big three networks. And then we had cable channels, the premium channels to begin with. And then we had USA and TNT and all the other channels. Now, and that's what Kevin Spacey started doing, is he just went to Netflix and said, I got this great show. He's a big enough name. They said, sure. But because it's working, a lot of the lesser-known directors are putting their stuff on the internet instead of needing to go to the show. For a regular TV show, you need tens of millions of viewers a night to make it. On the internet, you might get 10 viewers, but they're really influential 10 viewers.
Right, yes.
And across the entire world, you get lots of viewers.
Right, and you can also do YouTube. Anything you can show on your computer screen or your tablet screen or your phone screen, including the phone itself. Now, I'm taking pictures of you folks here because of the blackmail, but I will be able to watch them on my television set. You know, I'll slide them across here, but watch them on my TV. Like I said, just anything that you can show.
It's kind of unlimited for you. I mean, you've got quite a vast selection.
But that is the problem. There is no one place where you can find everything. So Google becomes that place. Right. So I want to stream The Last Ship. Okay, here it is. It's on this channel at this, and okay, I can go to it.
There is a site called
Can I Stream It?
Can I Stream It? .com. There's an A in Stream.
Can I Stream .it? I think it is.
Oh yeah. I think you're right. Yeah. That's why. Yeah.
I'll put that up on our link list now.
Yep.
And that lists movies and TV shows that are available for streaming, where they're available for streaming, and if they're free or not. Because there's always Amazon Video and iTunes Video where you can buy or rent shows, but it's nice to be able to have that free streaming as well.
And by the way, if you do rent a movie or buy a movie from iTunes or Amazon or any one of those places, you can cast that as well. Because all it's doing is taking the video from your device and putting it on your television. So anything you can do on your device, you can show on your television.
And that's one of the reasons it's only $35 for the Chromecast. When you look at similar devices like the Roku box, the Apple TV box, the other set-top boxes, they're about $100 because they have little computers in them and they do the streaming themselves. So they have Hulu and Netflix and other channels built into the box. So it does the thing itself, and it will stream from your tablet and computer. So it does both halves.
And the other thing, too, though, is now with laptops, they're all coming with the Blu-ray players or DVD players in them, and they have HDMI connections.
Who uses discs anymore? It's internet.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not very uncommon for folks, instead of having to have a separate DVD player, they'll just take their laptop into their TV like you're planning on doing, hooking it up with an HDMI cable and watching the movie instead of on a small screen, yep, right up on their 55-inch or whatever size screen they have, and enjoying it that much more.
And having something like Chromecast or Apple TV means you don't have to have that wire going up to the television.
Right.
You do it wirelessly on your network.
Yep, through the company.
I was wondering if you'd repeat again that one that would have a listing of different sites.
Canistream.it.
Can I stream?
Yes. Canistream.it.
Dot it.
Yeah.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah,
it's Italy. Yeah.
However, also if you go to google.com/Chromecast and scroll down, you can see at least some of the stuff. MLB.TV, Watch ESPN, PBS Kids, YouTube, Netflix,
HBO
Go, Pandora, Hulu, Google Play, RDO. Now that's a thousand of them,
and that's now the tricky thing. HBO and Showtime have apps for Apple TV and Chromecast. You still have to be a cable TV subscriber to that network in order to stream it over the internet. So that's a little annoying, but mm-hmm. it's a lot of it is the leftover licensing deals that the companies have with the internet. And the problem is that most of the internet companies also own the TV network. So Time Warner owns HBO. Comcast owns NBC Universal, so they're all this incestuous relationships that they want to get paid for the broadcast, they want to get paid again for the DVDs, they want to get paid again for the streaming, they want to get paid again for the internet feed to get it to you. So right. They tend to be a little bit greedy that way.
And one of the news items that I may not ever get to is Microsoft is looking to put out its own Chromecast competitor called Miracast.
The Xbox already does some of this,
right?
But that's expensive.
And the problem is Miracast requires coding. Any app that wants to do Miracast, see, it's your fault. any app that wants to do Miracast has to be rewritten to do Miracast. It's very special set of code that has to be used. Unlike Chromecast, which is if you can see it on your screen, you can see it on your television. So that's most of the people who write apps love it because they don't have to rewrite anything for Chromecast. So Miracast programs will come out slowly, if at all, honestly. Whereas Chromecast, you're done. It's already there.
Okay, good.
All right. He's either happy or giving up.
Yeah. Or we've given him too much information. Now he's going to get in trouble with his wife. You know, no, I'll never see you.
But a lot of people are cutting their cable TV bills by cutting out cable TV. You still need cable internet.
Yeah.
The other sneaky thing is most cable companies are now renting you that cable box you've had in your basement for 20 years, $6, $7, $8 a month. You can buy your own box for $100 and stop renting it from them. Right. And drop your bill a little bit.
Now, the other thing you should be aware of is that you need a fairly fast internet connection, unless you're the only people in the house. You know, I'm watching a movie. My wife is in Castleville, and my daughter's on Tumblr and YouTube and two other things simultaneously. and things slow down a little bit. But green light is coming to my neighborhood. Yes.
Faster.
No, they're going to cross the street and not coming to you.
Yeah, they're going to be. I'll run a line. I don't care. I will run a.
How many times have you been? You've been. What? Fios was one that you were pining for?
Fios never came to town. Google never came to town. But Greenlight, God bless them, they're here. And they're going to be in my neighborhood at some point.
Hey, Nick, before we hit the top of the hour break, I want to again thank our good friends here at Love & Cup for having
God
us here today.
These folks.
Thank
Let's
you very much to the staff
folks.
And everybody here. And we'd like to remind our listeners we're here for another hour today live at Love & Cup here
and
at Park Point at RIT.
It's going to be another exciting, thrilling hour of yesteryear. And yesteryear. No, wait, that's a Lone Ranger.
You can finally say, we'll be here another hour. You know, don't forget to tip your waiter.
That's don't right. forget to tip your waiter. That's exactly right. But yeah, we will be here for a whole nother hour, and we'd love to see anybody.
And we want to mention, too, that if you're out and about driving right now and you happen to be in the neighborhood, we are here. And also, you can watch the broadcast live on the website, too, via the Ustream channel.
Which you could also, by the way, cast to your Chromecast.
Yep. That's right.
I don't know if you'd want to see us on your big screen television.
Yeah, exactly. That's really not something I would do if I were you.
Any trauma or that is the result of that, we are not responsible for.
And if you are taking any photos today, you can hashtag them Jazz901 or hashtag Soundbites, all one word. We'd love to see the photos that you might be taking today.
And that's Bites and, with a Y, of course.
That's Bites with a Y. That is correct. Yeah.
And we'd love to see them. Let us know where they are, Imgur or wherever all those places you kids go to. So we'll know. But yeah, it's I love my Chromecast, and I find I watch a couple of shows on television. Doctor Who, of course, a couple of others.
Breathe deep.
And a couple of others, but mostly I'm watching stuff from through my Chromecast, whether it's Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, which my wife accidentally signed up for. Yes! So she can't blame me for that one. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, she'll find a way.
She has, but I'm trying to remind her she's the one who signed up for it.
So we're already used to not watching stuff live with the DVR and streaming, so it's that next step we got to get to.
That's exactly right. Yep. And it's happening. Many people are cutting the cord, as Steve said, and finding that they're not really missing anything.
Mm-mm. No, I find that, I got the on-demand. So I watch that. And, you know, on a program that normally takes, say, an hour, a couple of minutes, now it's down to 40 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, sometimes on-demand, on-demand gets weird because we do a lot of that, too. The more recent a show is, the more commercials are still in on-demand.
Right.
And you can't fast-forward through them on some channels.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yep. Oh, and I tell you, I get caught every once in a while. I get caught going, what the hell? I can't fist. Oh, that's right. It's live.
Yeah.
That's right. I knew that. I actually knew that. Thank you.
But, yeah, no, if you wait, though, like you say, they take a lot more of the commercials and that out of it so you can watch a number of programs in half the time.
All right. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to take a slightly longer break. You've clearly wasted an entire hour of your lives with this show, but you get a chance to do it all over again because you are not fast learners. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Rob Linton, with me, Nick Francesco, and some of the handsomest, prettiest, sexiest people on earth, all here live at the Love & Cup. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, you're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. And today, our 25th anniversary and Linda's birthday, we are live at the Lovin' Cup at Park Point, and we would we're here with many of our friends and one or two other people. I don't know who they are.
Yeah, they just wandered in off the street and wanted some
and plenty of room left for other folks. And get it closer to my mouth. Okay, I had it closer to my mouth. What is wrong with you? And we're here to take questions. So if anybody's got a question, the great Rob Linton with Scott. Okay, you'll get there. We'll get to you. We had Scott from Buffalo.
So somebody sent me in Facebook one of these videos of placing unpopped popcorn in between four cell phones. Now, I know it's a hoax, but I want to know how they do it. Use your cell phones to pop popcorn.
That sounds like a job for the Mythbusters.
I actually got that one myself, so I had to do the research. And what happens is, to set it up, it's four people sitting around a table, and they all put their cell phones around, and I think they ring them. I think they make them ring. And there's kernels of popcorn that start jumping around, and then pop. Well, what they actually did was they had a hot plate under a what looked like a Formica table, but wasn't, and they just popped the popcorn right there. The whole thing is a complete fake.
In fact, according to Snopes, it started out with cooking eggs, on a table. So Snopes.com is a really great website for looking up these urban myths. Barbara
Mickelson
really digs into these myths, finds out where they came from, interviews people. So she's the original Mythbuster. And then they publish it on their website. So the examples she first got are back from 2007. And cell phones were giant and emitted a lot more radiation. So it was more believable that you could hard-boil an egg by putting it between a couple of cell phones. Now that our cell phones are smaller, the target is smaller.
Right. Right. But, yeah, it is a complete hoax.
Okay.
We really find it amazing. Go ahead.
Okay.
Get started. We really find an amazing number
of... Okay, I've got a question. On my cell phone, which is the LG G3, every time I turn it on, it says... Verizon Waves has stopped.
That's a good thing.
And it has something to do with Google Plus, but I don't know what.
No, Verizon Waves?
WAVS. Service has stopped.
I actually turned that off. Verizon Waves. Is that one of those...
Wouldn't it be some of the sound effects?
Well, right. It's a way to play WAV files.
Yeah,
right.
Different sound effects that would show up on your phone.
So if someone sends you a voicemail with a WAV file in it, it lets you play that music or voice.
Yeah, and what's happened is that actually is a Verizon bloatware thing. And the fact that it has stopped is not necessarily a bad thing. I hid all that stuff on here, so I can't even find it and show it.
So it's probably something you want off anyways, just because it's only going to eat battery life anyways.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I've got all my pictures on Picasa, but if I stop Google Plus, if I disable Google Plus, Picasa goes away. How do I transfer my photos from Picasa to my gallery?
Well, there's this great thing called Google Takeout. And they used to call it the Data Liberation Front, which I thought was a much better name. But basically the idea is this. Google believes your data are your data.
And they're pretty unique in that.
And they are unique in that. And so you can go to Google Takeout and pick what you want to keep, what you want to download. And in fact, you can do it over and over and over again. And so you can say, I want all my pictures, I want all my posts from Google Plus, I want all whatever you want, all my phone, all my Google Voice phone calls, everything, and or a piece of it, and then download them. Now, you can do that in one of two ways. If it's a little bit, it'll download it directly. But if it's a lot of stuff, what it'll usually say is, this is going to take a while. If you want, we can email you when it's ready to download, and then they'll email you a link, and then you can download it, and it's usually a big zip file. But I do that. I do that regularly. All the stuff that they've got is mine. I want it back, so I go to Google Takeout and download it regularly. Yep.
Okay, we got one more.
Okay.
Mike from South Buffalo.
Ah, Mike.
I'm still using a Cronus version 9 for backups. Does Steve recommend something better?
Well, are you using a Mac?
No.
Okay. If you were, I'd say Apple's Time Machine works just great. But we've talked on the show a lot about Kobe and backup. I use that on a couple of the Windows machines that we use. excuse me. Acronis had this really neat feature called True Image, where you can make an exact image of your hard drive, which then, if there's a catastrophic failure, you can get that image back really quickly. But the Kobe and backup also lets you back up individual files too. Okay. I think Dave, you were the one that turned us on to Kobe, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very easy to use, very reliable.
Yep. They have what they often do on their website now, kobeandsoft.com. The current version is their commercial version that they sell. The previous version is the free version, and the commercial version usually has a few more features. But for just regular backing up your stuff, the free version works just fine.
Yeah, but like anything else that we always talk about, we recommend Adaware, spyware, Super Anti Spyware, Malwarebytes, and all those. There are always free versions. But as we've said, and this is true not only from now but in the past, if you help support it, they usually don't want a lot of money for it, but it can save you the features of doing automatic downloads, and you'll get more of the features of the program than the free version.
Equally importantly, it encourages them to keep making good software, which is
because a lot
thing.
Of programs have died because folks put it up there as freeware, and folks say, "Oh, I don't have to pay for it."
I got to tell you guys, speaking of all this stuff, I did something this week that I have not done in 20 years.
Does your wife know?
Yes, she does.
That's what I was going to
hear. And she's not as happy about it as she could be.
I was going to say, how much did it cost?
I bought a Windows laptop.
What? That's a what?
I have been using Linux.
It's all right. It's a little.
Exclusively for 20 years.
How old, but that's to be expected.
Every once in a while, Mike, everybody makes a mistake. And this was mine. No, I'm teaching some courses at RIT.
There's a couple of times where
I think Mike's not talking to us.
Yeah.
You're Mike. But I'm teaching some courses at RIT because I'm retired now. And they require some Windows software that I really can't run anywhere else. So I bought myself a Windows laptop.
Not 8.
8.1. Yeah. 8.1.
My sympathy for you.
Luckily, it's a touch screen.
Yeah, but 9's coming out next month.
I couldn't wait. I'm teaching now.
Well, that's going to be a
software.
Beta. That's not the end user.
You teach?
I can't. No, I really have to run specific software for one of the classes, and consequently,
your machine couldn't handle it.
It's a specific Windows only software. Hmm. And so I actually bought a Windows machine. I got it home. I opened it up. Two things happened. First, I suddenly realized I could download all the Security Tango stuff.
Yeah.
And actually run it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing I suddenly realized after I got it home is it doesn't actually come with Microsoft Office.
Nope.
Well, Linux machines come with everything. All you have to do is download it. It's everything you could possibly want is free, and all you have to do is hit the button and download it.
You didn't get the 30-day trial?
I didn't even know. No. Well, we get a hell of a deal through RIT, so I did that instead. But the point was, I then had to go back and buy Office. The other software, the specialized stuff, I could download.
Because the one thing bad about Windows 8.1?
It's Windows 8.1.
No. Well, besides that, OpenOffice doesn't work on it.
I know.
Yeah. A lot of folks, if you don't know that.
And that was the other thing.
OpenOffice does not work on Windows 8.1.
Yeah, I'm working at trying to get it to happen, but it's...
It ain't
happening.
Right now, they're saying this coming September, Windows 9 will be out for beta, and hopefully by October, because Microsoft is really pushing to get Windows 9 out there.
They have been bleeding big time since they brought out Windows 8. Nobody wants it. I mean, nobody at school has it on their systems.
Almost nobody has it, but it's what it came with, and I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
If you have the touchscreen, it's not as bad. Question?
No, it's not as bad if you got the touchscreen, and I'm learning some tricks on how to ignore the 8.1-ness.
There you go.
Well, we've been talking about the past a lot here.
Yeah.
How do you see the next 26 years of computing?
Through we're going to need wheelchairs.
Glasses, yeah.
Maybe not for you, but for the rest of us.
Yeah. Right now is a very interesting time because they're starting to talk about something called the Internet of Things. And what that means is all the stuff we have that is not currently on the Internet will be. And by everything, I mean everything, starting with your refrigerator and your thermostat and your coffee maker and all of those other things, and eventually going to your belt buckle and your earrings and your chair and all the other stuff that is out there.
And we're seeing that now with the Nest thermostat is already on the Internet.
Right. And so what they want to be able to do is link everything together for, generally speaking, good reasons. I mean, you know, if you're if your car is on the Internet, you'll know if somebody stole it, or you'll know if it got if you know you can start it ahead of time, and it'll tell you when it needs an oil change and all that yada yada that they're starting to do now.
Refrigerator can tell you when it's out of milk, right. or the next step, it just orders the milk itself and it shows up with an Amazon drone.
Right.
Well, at the one place I work, we have a device that you can buy. This is how ridiculous they're getting, for your grill. And what you do is your gas tank that you put on for your grill, you set this device underneath it, and it's got an app. It will tell you when your grill propane is getting low.
Yep. We have the iGrill at our office, which is basically a meat thermometer, but it talks to your iPad. And so it will tell you when the meat is done out on the grill.
Yeah. That stuff is all coming, and I think that, you know, over the next 26 years, 25 years, for our 50th anniversary, I hope you all will pencil it in. For our 50th anniversary, I think we'll be seeing stuff we've never seen. Drones.
Yeah.
Amazon has their drone program. Google has one as well. Right now, they're testing it in Australia because the FCC is not in Australia, or the the FAA is not in Australia, and therefore can't stop them from doing this. And they've got a very different type of drone. The Amazon drone is the quadcopter with the four things. The Google drone is essentially a delta wing craft that's vertical takeoff and landing, and then when it gets up there, it levels off and goes places. And they're testing dropping stuff down on a winch, so that first, they don't cut anybody's head off with the propellers, and secondly, nobody grabs the thing and takes it away. But the one from Google apparently uses a lot less fuel, electricity in this particular case, and can go much faster. So it's a very different type of thing. But and yeah, drones, I think, are going to be common.
UPS is getting into it, too.
Yep.
And if you're interested in seeing what the current state-of-the-art of drones are, the Rochester Aero Modeling Society is presenting their Northeast Model Helicopter Jamboree, continuing today and tomorrow out in Macedon. Fireworks tonight at 8:30. And they have helicopters. They have what we consider drones, the quadricopters, the hexacopters. Last week they had their airplane show, and one guy was showing off his quadricopter that was artificial intelligent. It had some really great AI in it. So he took it up to 400 feet and said, hover. And then he didn't have to touch the controls anymore, and the camera was pointing down, watching us all. And it just sat there, you know, hovering, and the other airplanes were flying underneath it. It was really cool. And then he just hits a button on the controller, or you program it, you know, 10 minutes later, it will come back and land itself exactly where it started off again, because it's got GPS in it. So what is becoming, well, has been a hobby of flying these model helicopters has sort of exploded as they've gotten cheaper and cheaper. You can get one that fits in the palm of your hand for $50, little quadricopter, and annoy your cats. But it's what we've seen is anyone who tries to predict the future is almost always wrong because we don't think outside enough. You know, it's from the 60s, where's my flying car? All right, well, we don't have flying cars, but we have little tiny flying helicopters with cameras in it that becomes our flying car. I want my jetpack, darn it.
We are going to look back 50 years from now and say, who'd have thunk it?
Yep. Yeah, no one ever envisioned the internet. Yep. They were thinking, transistors or vacuum tubes would get better than the transistor was invented. And no one foresaw anything about the internet.
I read a very old science fiction story that talked about a communications network.
Yeah.
And it was all those vacuum tubes that we used to get in banks and stuff, yep. And the thing would go away.
The pneumatic.
Come back. Yeah, pneumatic tubes, that's
yep.
it. But that's how they envisioned doing that because there was nothing else.
Okay. Got another question.
Hi, guys.
It's great Chris Reich, everybody.
Thank you.
Let's hear it for Chris.
I'm Chris Reich.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Has anyone reported that the Jazz 90.1 app hasn't worked in at least 3 weeks?
Well, the app is working, but the content isn't there, and that's a different problem. The hosting service.
Thanks, Chris. The company out of New York City just went out of business, didn't tell anybody. So the problem with app building, of course, anybody who knows has ever done it before, it's very, very expensive. So we have to find another company. If anybody knows of somebody that would build us a new app, please email me. But one day I tried using the app and it just didn't work. And the guy's like, yeah, we went out of business. Didn't you get the email? And I said, nope. Email? Really right now? You couldn't have sent us like a physical letter. But yeah, they actually went out of business, turned their servers off. So the app shell itself is still there. I've had it taken. It should be taken out of the iTunes App Store by now. But that's what happened with the app. So, again, if any of you build apps or know anybody that builds an app, please let me know.
But, yes, but you still happened. Can get the shows through the podcasting app.
And the website, too, of course.
Built into OS. There's a podcasting app on Android, too. A lot of them, probably.
We'll get you after the break. We're going to take a quick break. Yep. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, all the people here at Love & Cup, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on Member Supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And just as a reminder, we are live today at the Love & Cup. For our 25th anniversary show, and they're about to cut the cake, so you could probably still hurry, but it's a big cake, and it looks delish.
Chocolate and chocolate.
Yeah, if you're a chocolate fan and you're not here, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, really.
This
chocolate
is great.
Chips and chocolate frosty.
Right, we have more people with questions. You want to grab a mic and go? Is it Rebecca or Rachel?
Hold on.
Rachel. I knew it was an R word.
I got one of each.
Oh, you got one of each.
All right, who had, I think, gentlemen.
No, she was first.
No, back
was
here
was,
back here just gentleman back here was.
How do you know he's a gentleman?
We won't go there.
Okay.
Hi, Christian from Hartford.
Christian, ooh.
I was wondering if you knew if there was a way to watch YouTube videos on a Roku.
Yeah, they do?
Did they add?
The question was, did we hear the question
over
the
air? Yeah, that's right. And that kind of answered my question.
Yeah, there's an app on the Roku.
So you may have to go in and update your Roku software to get the new apps.
Yeah. The problem with the Roku is that they often are not terribly clear when there's an update. So particularly if you've had the Roku for a while, you may be surprised at what shows up after the update. So read your manual. It'll tell you where to go to get the update, and then you're on your way.
Okay, Rachel Williams from Buffalo, New York. So on Sunday, August 10th, my dad asked on the Second Life show how to get my iPad working again that I had. It was on, but you couldn't see anything unless you were powering it off. Then you would see the slider for a split second. It could connect to iTunes and back up to iTunes, but there was, you couldn't do anything else on it. Occasionally, over the last few weeks, it would give me alerts and tell me things, but I couldn't see anything on the screen, couldn't touch anything on the screen. Then yesterday I dropped it, and it started working perfectly again.
So if it's working when you drop it, it breaks. If it's broken when you drop it, it works.
Hey, does this go back to our, remember our old story with you with the PC?
Yeah.
And you had to tell the guy to lift it up 6 inches and drop it?
It was probably a loose cable.
It was probably a loose cable.
Really?
This is what we call in the business percussive maintenance.
No, we told the story.
Let's finish with her with her problem first. It is very likely that the cable that connects the video to the motherboard, there'll be a little short ribbon cable that does that. It was probably loose, and now it's tight again.
Or wiggled itself back straight. If it was just a hair crooked, it almost works.
Right.
But now it's a hair straight, so it does work.
Tell your other story, though.
Well, and sometimes when your iPad isn't working, you can reboot it, because it is a computer. If you hold down the sleep button on top and the home button on the front.
That wasn't working.
That can sometimes work also.
Yeah.
So the thing was actually working. You just couldn't see anything on the screen. That's the ribbon cable. And so now it works again, eh?
Yeah.
So
don't
drop it again.
Don't drop it again.
Right.
That's first. But second, you might want to take it somewhere and they can open the back and make sure those connections are in tight.
Oh, okay.
But that's the other thing. Yeah, but years ago when I was selling Apple computers, we got in some of the first Apple IIIs, which were these big metal behemoths. And we got like 8 or 10 of them in, and we turned them all on. None of them worked. All of them gave error beeps, of course, in the day, just error beeps. So I immediately called Apple back and said, and they said, oh, yeah, we know what that is. Are you anywhere near them? I said, they're right in front of me. I said, okay. Lift, because it was all one unit, keyboard, machine, everything, all one unit. He said, lift up the front edge about 8 inches. So I lift it up and I look under because I think he's going to tell me, you know, there's a switch or there's something. He says, let go. I said, what? He said, let go. I let go. He said, now turn it on. Bing. What the? He said, we're finding we saved a little money on the sockets for the RAM chips, back in the day when RAM chips had sockets, right? We saved a little money on those, and we're finding that in transit, the chips walk out of the sockets, and when you drop them, it seats them again. He said, the better way to do that is to open all the cases and push the chips down, but he said, I can't help but
sometimes
tell everybody that way first.
Sometimes heating and cooling cycles can cause that to happen, too. Then sometimes just letting it cool off and it'll slide back down into position.
Yep. Okay, we got another question.
Okay, Joel from Pittsburgh. Steve, what can we expect from Apple for those of us who are tethered to our iDevices in September?
Yes, the announcement is official. That was one of Nick's news stories. Apple actually gave us 2 weeks' notice. So September 9th is the official Apple announcement. The announcement of when the announcement is big news in the Apple world. They're going to be announcing probably the iPhone 6 because it's the September announcement. The new iPad usually comes in October. So 9 days, 23 hours, 29 minutes, and 0 seconds. AppleTimer.com, somebody put out a timer so you can count it down. What's interesting in the Apple rumor field is that you often see pictures of parts and products. Apple's probably working on 100 different things and prototyping, and one of the processes near the end of prototyping is they ask the manufacturer to give us 10,000 of them or 1,000 of them so we can see how well they work in a mass production environment. And so we'll see pictures out of the Chinese manufacturing factories. Oh, here's the iPhone 6. And then another blog. No, this is the iPhone 6. So we never know for sure until they're actually released. But what we're seeing, the more solid rumors, are there's going to be a 4.7-inch model and possibly a 5.5-inch model. So bigger screen. A better camera is... bigger screen, better camera, faster processor, and that sort of goes along with the evolution of each new model. And as Nick said earlier, the Internet of Things, the biggest rumors we're hearing in the Apple world are the iWatch, some sort of a wearable device. Will it be a watch or will it be something else? To do fitness and health-related things. Apple has been hiring a lot of fashion people. They hired the CEO of Burberry. Some high up VP of Yves Saint Laurent, and so they're hiring fashion people. They're hiring sports people. They hired a guy out of Nike, and so they've hired a lot of health people. So is it going to be blood pressure? Because already, Nick, you said your phone does pulse.
Yeah, I can do my pulse.
You can get pulse, you can get blood ox.
Usually don't have numbers that high.
You can get blood pressure. Yeah, so we're seeing a lot of this stuff coming out on phones, coming out on wearable devices. There's the Fitbit, the Nike Fuel Band. There's a lot of these wearable devices already. And so those are also some of the big rumors that Apple is going to come out with. In fact, the Pebble, which was a Kickstarter, is basically, it's what Joel's wearing. It's basically a watch that talks to your phone. So when you get a text or a phone call, you can lift your arm and read the screen and not reach into your pocket.
Right.
Such a first world problem.
And there are a dozen devices like that from Samsung and a couple of other places. It is also rumored that Apple will have a 12.9-inch iPad, 13-inch iPad.
Steve, I love the
Pebble. See, now you're angry.
Because I get a text message.
Yeah.
I get a text message whenever my wife charges something.
Yes.
So it's always going off, you're saying.
Tie that to your credit card. Yeah. So there's a 12-inch touchscreen that people have been seeing. So the question is whether it's going to be a 12-inch iPad Air touch screen or 12-inch, 13-inch, or is it going to be a 13-inch MacBook Air, or both?
The problem is there are a lot of rumblings going on because all of this stuff is evolutionary, but it's been a very long time since Apple did anything revolutionary. I mean, another watch. Okay, it's from Apple, so it works better with iPhones, but it's just another watch.
The iPad itself was the last revolution.
Right. And there are people who are actually kind of upset about this. They feel that Apple, when they lost Steve Jobs, they lost that spark. That's part of Apple's image issue that they have. I can't say that it's necessarily true, but it's part of the image issue that they have.
And Apple, like pretty much all the other companies, is probably looking at least 5 years out, 10 years out of what their product plans are. The iPad itself was 10 years under development because they couldn't get the thing small enough and light enough in the beginning. They had to wait for technology to catch up. So it's, Steve Jobs probably had his hand in at least the next 2 or 3 years of products. But yeah, who's that visionary? So Johnny Ive is now the lead designer and product manager. And Phil Schiller's the marketing manager. So the Apple executives, they're all there. But do they have that, is Tim Cook that Steve Jobs driving force? And he has his own way of running things. And we'll see how well it works.
The last revolutionary thing that I've personally seen, two of them, Chromebook and the Chromecast. Neither of them is an Apple product. Those of us who follow Apple are wondering when that next revolutionary product is coming out.
Hi, Pete from Henrietta.
Pete.
Two NVIDIA cards, 760 and a 460. Just recently swapped out for the 760, both getting these driver reset errors. Now, I don't think it's the cards. I don't think it's a box, the PC necessarily. But I'm hearing rumors of a recurring NVIDIA error.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. NVIDIA is one of the big companies that makes video cards, particularly high-end video cards for computers. A lot of laptops have them in, a lot of things like Chromebooks and iPhones and everything use NVIDIA chips. And it looks like the new generation has some form of... We're all hearing it. Nobody's saying anything at NVIDIA yet. But yes, we're all hearing the same issue. Lots and lots of driver resets. I recently had an upgrade to my one of my Linux boxes that was constantly resetting itself, rebooting itself. And there was an NVIDIA upgrade, and it seems, knock on wood, to have stopped happening.
So sometimes the latest driver isn't right. They've introduced bugs in the latest driver. So one of the things you can try is download the last driver and see how that works.
Right, but, back
but
up one.
Yeah, but sometimes you know buying the latest and greatest is never quite good. In fact, that was one of Nick.
Dave.
Yeah, Dave's old stories. How long have we been doing this? Were you
I'll be Nick for the duration of the show.
You you built a PC from the editor's choice of motherboards and video cards and Ethernet, and none of it worked together.
Yeah.
Individually, they were all the best of the breed, but none of them would work
Try
together.
Try to combine them and... No.
But that, Adam Osborne said the pioneers are the people with the arrows in their backs. Yeah.
But at least NVIDIA, you can count on them to have the support there. They've always been great, and even keeping their older cards up to date with even the newer operating systems or the old. So I can't say enough good things about them, though.
Chris Reich again.
Yay, Chris.
With a third world problem. I'm sorry, first world problem. Yeah. And I gave my laptop and iPod to Steve up there on the podium. The issue is the iPod no longer wants to update when I connect to the laptop. So I know your question is going to be, what changed?
Yeah.
Here's the answer. I upgraded the laptop to Mavericks. I upgraded the iPod to iOS 7.14. I did it like a year late, but I finally did the update. Now it won't. It does nothing but time out when I connect the two. What's up with that?
I found a couple of tech notes from Apple about timeout issues are usually related to USB. And one of the suggestions is try a different USB cable, a different USB port on the computer, or just sync wirelessly and don't bother about USB. So if it hurts when you do that, don't do that. But yeah, a couple of things you can try. Is a different USB cable. I assume you've already restarted the iPod itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the, like we were mentioning earlier, sometimes just restarting your device can fix little problems like that. But yeah, that's a couple of things to try. I've got another USB cable with me. We can try if you want later on. Yeah, so it's always frustrating when your stuff won't sync together. So a couple of versions of iTunes ago, Apple added Wi-Fi syncing. So for your iPhone or your iPod, you don't have to physically plug it into your computer. You can sync over Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi was typically slower than USB. That's why they didn't do it originally, because everyone would complain about how slow it is. Well, you can have speed or you can have convenience. You can't have both. But now, right, it won't charge over Wi-Fi, so you still have to plug into a...
Mine does.
You got Wi-Fi? You got wireless charging.
I got wireless charging.
Not Wi-Fi charging.
Right.
A little slightly different, yeah. So the other thing Apple has started doing is through iCloud Sync, you can synchronize a lot of your stuff without needing to connect the two devices together and even without having the devices in the same room. It's supposed to do it over USB, but they've made other options as well. So if you rip a lot of your own music, that tends to be where you still have to sync it over Wi-Fi or USB.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Lint, and me, Nick Francesco, and a whole bunch of really incredibly wonderful people here at Love and Cup. And we'll be back with more Sound Bites on Member Supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we're into the last big rush.
Well, Nick, I want to thank a couple of folks for making today possible. First of all, I want to thank all of you guys. I mean, seriously, 25 years of hard work. How about a round of applause for Nick, Dave, and Steve? They make it look so easy. Also want to take the moment to thank again our friends here at Love & Cup for allowing us to come in and use their space today. Delicious food, great people. Want to thank Leslie and her team for allowing us to be here today. Also, if any of you guys like the cake? What do you think? Was it good?
Yeah.
Was it very good? Want to thank the Shirt Factory Cafe in Medina for that. And also our development director, James Pospula, for his help today as well. And thank you to all of you guys for coming out that are here, and also the folks that are listening on air and online right now for all the years of supporting the show.
And you other folks at Love & Cup that weren't expecting this when you came live.
That's right. Yes, thank you to you as well. This is what we call live entertainment.
What did I walk into?
That's right. And you guys are up for 25 more years, right?
Oh, sure.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Easy.
Italy.
I also want to put in a plug for Second Life. We have our Second Life contingent here. And every Sunday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Linden Time, you will find us in Second Life. And basically, we do what we do here. We answer questions. We talk about movies. We do whatever we want to do. It's a great time. And if anybody wants to join us, all you need to do is give me a message. My Second Life name is Neil Infinity. N-I-H-I-L, Infinity, and I'll be happy to teleport you over to the Second Life area where we meet, and just basically, we do this.
Well, one other person I got to thank, I'm sorry, I just remember this, Mike Oden, who's back at the studios pushing the buttons and making it happen today. We appreciate him for volunteering.
And because of him, I get to be here instead of there.
And what a lot of folks don't realize is that Nick, Dave, and Steve, and Mike back in the studio, and so many of our staff are volunteers at Jazz 90.1. These guys don't paid. I'm sorry. When I told you the check was in the mail, I was kidding.
Yeah, but that's that's one nice feature. You can't ever fire us.
A lot of people don't realize that about 90% of our staff, actually less than, about 90% of our staff is volunteers. These guys come in every Saturday. I don't ever recall anybody calling in because the weather was bad. See, one of the problems with having the show at a school district is, you see, they don't plow the sidewalks on the weekends. They're like, oh, no kids are there. It's okay. So they've come in with like 3 feet of snow, and they get, you know, they do their show, and we appreciate their dedication. But a lot of folks don't realize that you guys are volunteer and come in and do this out of the kindness of your heart. Does anybody else have any last-minute questions that you'd like to ask Nick, Dave, or Steve? Okay.
What's wrong with us?
Steven from Avon. you're talking earlier about Linux, and I was just curious, what do you think the future of Linux is in terms of what's going to be happening?
The future of Linux?
Yeah.
That's a lovely question, actually. And I think what's going to happen is I got crumbs in my keyboard. Okay.
That's why I have a rubber keyboard guard on my...
Yeah, but he dropped his cake.
I dropped my cake. What happens, I think what's going to happen with Linux is we are seeing it more and more places.
Is this the year of Linux?
This is it. This is the year of Linux. The year of the Linux desktop is coming still. But we're seeing Linux everywhere. Underneath Android, there's Linux. Underneath Chromebooks, there's Linux. 90% of the sites you all go to on the web are Linux. More than 90% of the routers and switches that you use on the internet are Linux. So Linux has won. I mean, Linux is everywhere. If you take the sheer number of devices, Linux has more stuff than everybody else put together. But we just don't necessarily see it. Few of us actually run Linux as a desktop, and for most people, for most people, I think Linux would be an excellent choice. But really, what we're seeing now is those same people can use things like Chromebooks, which are a lot less expensive, a lot easier to use, lots safer and more secure, even than Linux, because they basically are Linux underneath. Mm-hmm. And so I think we've already seen the day of the Linux desktop. This is it. This is a Linux desktop, right? This is a Linux phone top. So I think the battle's over and Linux won.
We used to talk about finding your support network. Who can you call at night? Go to your users group. There still are users groups. Next week will be the Rochester Computer Society on Tuesday and Apple Cider Mac Users Group on Wednesday. But because of the internet, we don't really need these meeting groups anymore. And we've been noticing our memberships are dwindling. So your support network doesn't have to be in your own city. It's anywhere else on the internet. And we are so used to just getting on the internet and Googling something that you can find answers. In fact, that our secret, I probably shouldn't say this, our secret to answering your questions is to Google it. And someone has probably already figured out that answer. The art is in knowing how to search, and I can't explain it, but I tend to find my search results in the first two or three lines.
Well, the other cool thing, which I've talked about, is I've got a Nexus 7. My fiance has an iTablet. Now, I don't know Macs for beans, but yet I was able to set hers up. They're getting so universal that you just download apps. You don't need to know the operating system. You just pull down apps, and it does it.
And you often don't care what the operating system is underneath.
Exactly. It's become, you know, I don't care about that. You know, I want to be able to do this and this. I go to the store. I download it. It's there. I can run it and use it.
And that's one reason the Chromebook is so popular is it doesn't matter what the OS underneath is. It gets you to the web. It gets you to your email. It does your photos. And
you can
and
do
that's it.
Documents and spreadsheets and everything else.
If you want to do all that extra stuff, it's still there.
Right.
Yep.
But the underlying thing is, and again with Linux, and we've told this to listeners many times, you know, they've got an older box. Nick has countless times said, put Linux on it. It takes less power to run that operating system that that old dinosaur that you're ready to put out to the curb can still be used and run pretty darn fast.
And I have to tell you, like I said, I bought a Windows laptop recently, and it's slow.
Compared to Linux.
Compared to Linux. Yeah. I do something, and I think, what the hell? Nothing happened. Oh,
you're back
here
to Gates.
It goes.
You're back to Gates.
I can't take it.
Okay, we have another question.
Hi, guys. I'm Steve from Greece.
Hello.
Hello. I got a question about apps. You've been talking. I am very angry, I'll be nice, at all the permissions you have to use that are not slightly related to the function of the app. Is it that difficult, and or is there a class where you can learn to write apps? I mean, it's just ridiculous. A flashlight, they want access to your pictures or something like that.
There are two things going on. For those of you who don't use, I don't know if it happens on iPhones, but okay, so the same thing. So there's two things. First, in both areas, you need to be very careful because there are a lot of malicious apps out there. But secondly, part of it is the rules that Apple and Google impose on someone. So if, for example, an app wants to use a folder, then they have to say they're using the app that uses that folder.
So it used to be, you know, a couple of years ago, apps were getting in trouble for doing things without telling you. They accessed your contacts without telling you.
Yeah, without
so now,
any warning.
Both the OSs have switched, so it asks you every single time, and we're still mad, but in the other direction.
Right. So some of that stuff is not really because of the app developer, but because of the rules they have to live under. But you're right. Much of it is you want to write an app, and this guy wants to find out everybody who's doing stuff in Cleveland. So he pays you to throw a little piece of code in your machine that says, ping me whenever somebody in Cleveland uses your app.
Right. And I can see with a flashlight app, it's probably wanting to access the camera flash, so it has to access the camera, which has access to your photos.
Yep.
So you have to allow that.
Right. So
they're,
it's not
interlinked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can't just say we want to access the flashlight. Because of the rules that both Google and Apple put out, they have to say we want access to your photos.
Yep. And for programming, there's App Rochester. a local application programming group. They actually have a meeting this week, September 2nd, here at RIT. You can go to approchester.com to find out more information about that. And Jerry, you're still doing development classes?
No,
sorry. Ignore that.
Jerry doesn't code.
He was doing web development for a while, so app development is getting big. And in fact, at App Rochester this week, they're going to be talking about Apple's new Swift programming language, which is supposed to be a lot easier than the traditional C++ that apps use.
All right, that sad sound tells us that we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who turned up here at the Love and Cups to help us celebrate our 25th anniversary live. I can't begin to tell you how honored and delighted I am that you were all here. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, for Rob Linton, and for all the folks at Jazz 90.1, and of course, our delightful friends here at Love and Cup, thank you all so much for what you've done for us. Now, don't go away, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is there to keep him in line, so it's not going to be too frightening. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more sound bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks so much for coming out.
Thanks again, everybody, for coming out today and supporting the show. We appreciate it very, very much. And again, if anybody would like some cake for the road, please help yourself. There's a lot of cake up here left. And we also invite you to come up and say hi to the guys as well. Thanks again for coming out today, everybody. We appreciate your support very much. Also wanted to mention, we have Soundbites window clings up here as well. If anybody would like one of those... I always forget every time we do an event. If you want a window cling for your car or your home, feel free to come on up and help yourself. We've got those.